Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We are fast approaching the month of December, and I don't know about you, but things are starting to get really busy, really hectic, and really chaotic. And I feel like I need to be authentic with you, my listening family out there. And you know, I've been giving you all a hard time about those who wait to put up their Christmas decorations because I put mine up in October. Part of that is because of an experience. It's a health crisis, actually, that my daughter had when she was little, and the tradition stuck. So I've had my Christmas tree up since October, and I've been giving some of you, who shall remain nameless, a hard time about not having yours up. But I gotta tell you, I still have a pumpkin wreath on my door. So, and I literally have Easter candy sitting on my table. How that happened, I do not know, but I was sitting here with my producer, Stephanie, and saying, this is an accurate representation of the status of my life. And as we start to go through the holiday season and all traditions approach, what we're going to talk about today is something that's really heavy, but not too sensitive. This is a difficult topic. We're going to talk about grieving. Now, the holidays are supposed to be a happy time, and sometimes that can make it even more difficult to feel like you should be happy when you're taking your kids on the Polar Express train in their pajamas or whatever holiday tradition that you're doing, but you may just not feel that on the inside. Now, if that's you, if you're grieving a fresh loss or you're grieving a loss that's really, really old and familiar to you, but still just feels that ache, this show is for you today. I am so blessed, we are blessed, to have joining us today Natasha Smith. Now, Natasha is a wife, she's a mom, she's a North Carolina native, she's a writer, a speaker, a podcaster, and she shares stories on faith, family, and grief. Her work has appeared in Guidepost and Focus on the Family, in Her View from Home, Today Parents, all kinds of other places. And she wrote a book called Can You Just Sit With Me? Healthy Grieving for the Losses of Life. Now, when I first came across this book, it really immediately grabbed me because it was so thoughtful and so relatable and really so biblically rich, which I really loved, because when we're facing grief and sadness, the best place that we can find hope is in the Word of God, and that is there. I've had the privilege of talking with Natasha before, who has experienced a lot of grief, and so have invited her today to have a special conversation so that we can talk about grief, and especially during the holiday seasons, and just encourage you that you are not alone. And if that's you grieving, or if it's someone else around you that you see who is grieving, how you can best support them. So with that, let's dive in. Natasha, I am so grateful to have you back today to talk about this really important topic.
Yes, thank you so much, Jessica, for inviting me back. I'm so looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too. Well, Natasha, why don't you just tell us a little bit about who you are, you know, how you grew up and how your journey really took a turn that you did not see coming and did not want to see coming. And you have experienced more grief than most people. I was really stunned reading through your book, talking about how much loss you have experienced. So tell us a little bit of your story and how God prepared your heart to minister to others.
Yes. So I'll just kind of start with that I sat with grief for 30 years, and it still surprises me when I kind of call out that number as well. So 30 years, kind of dating back to my early teen years, going into early 20s, and just loss after loss. And so some of those losses included miscarriage, a stillbirth, the death of two of my older sisters, the death of my dad, the murder of my nephew, And the list really goes on and on. And one thing I want to definitely note is that even some of the losses were not all like the loss or the death of a loved one, but it was like loss of career and loss of identity, kind of all rolled into just a myriad of losses during that time frame. And kind of the catalyst to like how I began to process all of those losses, because again, I sat with it for 30 years, meaning I did not do any type of grief work. I basically hid it and stuffed it and basically kind of walked through life in a survival mode, and trying to ignore it the best I can. But what I've learned is that when we don't deal with grief, when we don't process it, when we don't express it, it really does kind of seep out into our life in some way or another. And it really informs our decisions and how we view life and how we look at life. And so 2020 was that catalyst of me not being able to hide my grief any longer, but having to really start to say, okay, I've experienced a lot, like acknowledging the depth of all the loss that I had experienced, and started to put pen to paper during that time frame. And again, 2020 being the pandemic year, a year that was just so full of grief and a year that was so dark. And it really was that catalyst to for me to start to process my grief as well as to write the book.
Well, you know, Natasha, as you're listing those off, I mean, my goodness, if you really stop and slow that down, it's staggering to hear those things. And you can list them now in just a second or two, but each one of those was such a dramatic moment in time. And I'm sure it didn't go away quickly. And I think about all of the experiences, all of the things that went along with that. And, you know, as you were talking, it reminded me of the phrase, time heals all wounds. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. That's just absolutely not true. Because like you said, you didn't do anything with it. And if you're just waiting for time to pass and thinking time will make it better, what I hear you saying is, no, it won't. You have to do the work. You have to process that grief in a healthy way. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, absolutely. I'm like nodding my head at everything you say. Absolutely. That is so honestly true. We have to do the work. And to be honest, you know, does the work feel good? No, it does not. Because we have, you know, the society or culture we live in is not like one that really, you know, we don't really talk about grief even still to this day. It's not like this heavily, what you consider sexy topic or something that it's heavily talked about. Mm-hmm. And so even for myself, you know, it was hard to begin that process, because who wants to feel sad? Like, who wants to cry? We don't, but we need to, you know.
You know, this is, oh, as I say this, it's going to make my children cringe if they're listening, but but I'm going to go there because it's so true. In my book, I talk about my kind of tongue in cheek, you know, a little, with a little sense of humor, that my spiritual gift is emotional enemas. That's what my family has called them. These are therapeutic cleansing conversations that nobody wants, but you feel better afterwards. Yeah. And I thought, why couldn't I have had a different platform? You know, like, who wants to be grief or emotional enemas? Yeah, I'm not saying that word again, kids. Okay, I know you're already cringing. But you're right, Natasha. You know, it's so hard to talk about this, but this is part of doing the work. And I want to read to you something that you wrote in the introduction of your book that was really, that really hit me. You said, you talked about, you know, being on this side of grief. And you said, these days, I find myself more in a supportive community with connect groups at church, writing communities and prayer groups. And I often think, oh, how I wish I had this during the throes of deep grief. I even had a moment of grief over not having the support that I am now a part of, because it is just that beautiful. Someone to sit with me. Not to ask me invasive questions about the death, not to try and fix me, not to give me advice, but to listen, to sit with me just for a little while in the ashes, knowing full well, as I know, that I'm not going to stay there, but knowing that I need to sit here for a moment to grieve, to catch my breath, to breathe and to acknowledge this loss. And so, you know, I just want to encourage those who are listening, you know, maybe you came into this program and you're thinking, oh, that's not me. I'm not grieving. Nothing's happened. But then maybe the Lord will bring something to your mind, something that maybe you have been secretly grieving or subconsciously grieving. And, you know, Natasha, I'm a mom of four. I'm a mom just like you are, mm-hmm. and I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner. I love kids. And you tell a really beautiful story in your book about your daughter doing this very thing that I just talked about, sitting with you in your grief. Would you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I love this story as well because anyways, let me go ahead and tell it. So I'm sitting in the classroom because I homeschool our younger two. And I was sitting in the classroom, and albeit it was 2020, and it was my sister Sharon's birthday. And I became so overwhelmed. And typically, I leave the room. Up until 2020, I was still like hiding my grief, especially from our kids, because I was like, if I cry in front of them, I'm going to make them sad, and I don't want to make them sad. And so, but I became so overwhelmed sitting at my desk, and I couldn't leave the room fast enough. And so my five-year-old at the time, she came over and she was like, what's wrong, Mom? You know? And I told her, I was like, Mommy's sad because my sister's birthday and she's not here and I can't celebrate with her. And she was just like, it's okay. Like, it's okay, Mommy. And it was, for me, it was like giving me permission to grieve. And so right then and there, it allowed me a moment to include, gave me permission to cry, gave me permission to grieve, but it also to me gave me that permission that I needed, or what I want for my kids is to not shy away from emotions and not shy away from grief, you know, these things that we will all experience at some point in our life. So it was a big moment.
That is a big moment. And I think sometimes, you know, kids are just so much better at so many more things than we are, you know, at just giving people grace and space to share their emotions. They don't get, you know, socially awkward, you know, like we do, thinking, oh, what does this look like? What are people saying? Or, you know, they're quicker to say that they're sorry sometimes. Or, you know, I hear my kids will just say that. Just say you're sorry, Mom. You're wrong. You're being rude. You need to just say that you're sorry. And kids are so much better at that. And I think you said something really important, that especially with grief, sometimes we feel like we have to hide that because we don't want our kids to be sad, especially here during the holidays. But the truth is, Natasha, our kids know us so well. They are so attuned to our every emotion. It's not like they don't know that we're sad. I think it's so important for us to invite them into that process with us, and more importantly, to point them to a greater hope. Like, yes, mm-hmm. I'm sad. Yes, this hurts, but God sees me. God knows that. And you talk in your book, this was really also really impactful to me, Natasha, that you can find the word grief about 252 times in the Bible, and the word weep weaves through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And you talk mm-hmm. about how Abraham grieved the death of his wife Sarah. Joseph grieved over his relationship with his brothers. The children of Israel grieved the death of Moses. Naomi grieved the loss of her husband. David grieved the death of Saul. Job grieved the loss of, everything, right? That's like a terrible story in Job. Jonah grieved God's call to Nineveh. The disciples grieved over losing Jesus. And Jesus grieved. I mean, that's the shortest verse in the Bible, right? John 11:35. Mm-hmm. And Jesus wept. Well, when we come back, we are going to talk about this more, about a biblical concept of grieving. How do we find hope even in the face of utter hopelessness? And if you didn't catch all that Natasha has been through, I mean, it is a lot. It is so overwhelming. Yet here she is giving you hope through the power of the gospel. So you will not want to miss our conversation continuing, and we'll talk about some specific strategies and things to say and not to say to those who are grieving during the holidays. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, friends. We are talking with Natasha Smith, a wife, a mom, a North Carolina native, and author of Can You Just Sit With Me? Healthy Grieving for the Losses of Life. Now, in the first segment, Natasha shared a little bit of her story of just extraordinary loss. I mean, Natasha, reading through your story, it does have the echoes of Job to me. Like, it was a lot of things. And yet she sits here today to share the hope that is found in Scripture, in the Word of God, and the importance of your grieving journey. Now, we talked about in the first segment, I had thought of the phrase, time heals all wounds, and that's just not true. Now, in Natasha's book, she lists out some myths versus facts about grief. And some of those myths are that everyone grieves in stages, but the truth is that grief doesn't follow the rules. The myth is that women grieve more than men. And the truth is that all people grieve differently. A myth is that if you're not crying, you're not really grieving. And the fact is that crying isn't essential to grieving. Some people say the myth is that the first year is the hardest. And that can make, I think, people who are going on into subsequent years feel like, why am I having a hard time? And the truth is that grief is hard, period. The myth is that grief gets better over time, but the truth, the fact, is that grief doesn't follow a set timeline, and that people struggling with grief just need to get over it. But you can't just move on from grief without processing it in a healthy way, and sometimes that requires some professional help. Now, I've shared with Natasha that she has appeared on my podcast before, and I read her book, and we had a great conversation. And right after that, my grandmother passed away. And my next podcast guest was Wendy Blight, who had listened to the podcast episode with Natasha. And she told me when we talked, she said, Jessica, wasn't the Lord so kind to put Natasha in your path right when you were going to need her, right when you were about to embark on your own grieving journey? And I think that that is just such a blessing from the Lord, that He is so good in that way, and He does orchestrate circumstances for our good and for His glory. So, Natasha, we were talking about just your grieving story, and you have in all throughout your book these exercises called grief affirmations. Can you tell us what those are and how those help to contribute to the work of processing grief?
Yes, I love grief affirmations. I actually started to do more daily ones that I post to my Instagram, but really for me, but I know that it helps others as I post them. But one thing that grief affirmations, one thing that it does is it centers us or grounds us or puts our mind to a place. It reminds me of the verse, and I can't think of the actual reference, where it says basically think on these things, so all those things that are lovely and of good report, you know, those that are good, you know. And so it's like kind of the putting our mind, you know, those who keep our mind stayed on Him, meaning God, His word, will be kept in perfect peace. And so that's really kind of the gist of that, to put our mind in a place. I want to say this, though. It's not that we're bypassing our pain, and it's not to bypass the grief, but it's actually to acknowledge it, but to also to kind of bring in God, bring in His word, and bring in just some words of comfort and peace and healing. And so that is the gist of the affirmation.
Well, I love the grief affirmations, and it is encouraging to me. I follow along on Instagram and watch what you're doing, because some of those really speak to me, and it's really helpful to see you living those out. You know, it's not you just sitting in the ashes, you know, the whole time. Like you said, you're getting up, but it's that process of healing. Now, one of the grief exercises that you have, which you have so many, and there's so many good ones, is retelling. telling your story again. And I think, you know, sometimes when people know that someone else has experienced grief, you feel like you're not sure, you don't really want to ask them about it, you know, because it feels so sensitive and it feels so awkward. But then you're just basically not acknowledging the elephant in the room. And so I am going to take your advice here, Natasha, and I would like to do my own grief affirmation here and retell a short little story that I think illustrates this point. So as I've been talking about quite a bit, I've lost my grandmother. She was like my mother. I lived with her for quite a while. She put me through nursing school. The thing about my granny is that she loved everybody so well. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just constantly loving. And my grandfather was the mayor of the small town that we were in. And so she got together this group of older women who called themselves the Lunch Bunch. And they would go around to every new restaurant that was in town to welcome them, just be the welcome wagon, say, welcome to our town. We're so glad you're here. And, you know, we just want to get to know you. So one day, this was when I was living with her, she came home and she said, I knew she had gone out with her lunch bunch. And I said, well, how did it go? And she said, well, we went to this new place called Twin Peaks. Now, if you don't have one of those in your town, I'm just going to say that it is not a place that I would expect my granny and her Baptist church friends to go to. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But she went in there and I said, well, did you have any problem? And she said, well, yes, we did. And I thought, I bet you did. And she said, all of the tables are bar height. Like, they were too tall. I could not get up in the chair. We're old, Jessica. We just, you know, couldn't get up in there. I said, well, did you leave? And she said, no, we didn't want to hurt those girls in there. Were so nice to us and we didn't want to hurt their feelings. So we just stood up and they invited them to church with them. She invited all of their waitresses there. I know. And so, you know, it just made me laugh. And she really didn't say anything, you know, nothing derogatory. But later on, when she was talking to me about it, as she was telling me goodnight, she said, you know, Jessica, she said, if you're ever at a building where there's no windows and there's only pickup trucks pulled in backwards, you're probably not at the best place for ladies to be. And so I knew that she knew, but she just said it so kindly. So why am I retelling this? Well, I drove by one of those restaurants not too long ago. And for whatever reason, it just opened the floodgates. I wasn't expecting it. And my son found me just absolutely a mess. He's 16. He's like almost 6'3". He's a man-sized child. And it was just like you were talking about with your daughter. It was so sweet that he just really kind of hugged me and just accepted me in that moment in the grief. And that brings us to what I wanted to talk about. What I talked about earlier, Natasha, you've been talking about walking through other people's grief, you know, not knowing what to say. And you just wrote a blog about two words that you should not say to someone who is grieving, two words that can be really off-putting and kind of hurtful. So walk us through what not to say and why.
Yes. So for this, I like to say, I know that there are so many, again, that people who say, I don't know what to say. And I know that there are so many well-wishers and well-meaning people. So when we talk about this, I want to kind of express that, yes, we're going to give people grace because people literally don't know. But I love these platforms where we're able to talk about it so that we can bring more awareness to it. So those two words that I kind of talked about in my blog post was I understand. And so when, you know, at first when you hear that, you're like, you know, especially if you experience a lot of loss. And in my case, I had experienced a succession of losses. And so I'm thinking I have like the credentials to be able to say, I understand when someone, you know, tells me that they have experienced a loss. But when I started, kind of stepped back and actually it was me going through a course in grad school and reading a book about why don't we listen better. I realized that I was saying it and I shouldn't be saying it either. And the meaning behind that is that when we tell someone that I understand, again, it's like a well-meaning sentiment, but what we're saying is you now at this point, like the person you're in conversation with, I'm basically saying I know everything that I need to know about your situation. And so it kind of silences the griever or the person who we are in conversation with. And so if we're trying to support someone who is hurting or support someone who is grieving, these two words, I understand, may not be the best two to use.
So what would be better alternatively? So you know someone is grieving, or maybe you don't know and you just kind of unexpectedly stumble upon that in conversation. What are some good practices, some good practical things that people can do in the moment, whether they're at a holiday gathering or a family gathering? How can we best support people who are grieving?
Yes, I love all the words that kind of point to affirming someone's pain or witnessing their pain. And so if someone says, well, you know, I just lost my sister, I just lost my cousin, or I just lost a job, those affirming words, like, that's so hard. You know, that must be devastating. So it's these affirming words as opposed to at least. So it's more of words that can affirm the pain, the hurt that they must be feeling at that time, and really witnessing, or even tell me more, you know, because most often grievers don't have a chance to really even tell, you know, what is hurting them and really tell their story. And so that's the kind of one of the main things in my book as well with Can You Just Sit With Me is really someone wanting a heart's cry for someone to just listen to them. And so even to say, you know, tell me more about that, you know, because I just even recently my husband has shared a story with me with someone at work that had had a loss in their family. And he actually did that to say, you know, tell me more. And they were so shocked that they asked. It's like, I know, I was like almost in tears when he told me. But it's sad because, but we're so fast paced, you know, that we don't take time to really care about, you know, people. And so I think just using those affirming words and really making space for people to tell their story and for us to really be attentive in our listening to them.
I think it's so hard, Natasha, because, you know, we are not a society that's good at just sitting. And even just the title of your book, Can You Just Sit With Me? Just sit with me. And I think, you know, sometimes in Christian circles, especially, we feel this obligation somehow that when someone expresses their grief, it's like all of a sudden it's a pop quiz for us as Christians. Like, do we know the right words to say? Do we know the right scriptures to share? Do we know the right prayers to pray? And I think we start to give these kind of platitudes, you know, like, God needed another angel in heaven, or, you know, like, or, you know, things like that, just like, God won't let you go through more than you can bear, or, you know, things like that. And really, I think that is such a disservice because we're putting all of the focus on us. Like, am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I proving my faith in this moment rather than making it about them? So how do we reconcile that? Yes, we want to share our hope. Yes, we want to share that God loves them, but we also need to not be spiritually condescending. I mean, is that too blunt?
I love everything that you're bringing out because it's so important. One, you use condescending. I would even use, or what I've kind of, the word spiritual bypassing, where we bring out scriptures to kind of bypass the pain a little bit. One thing that I ran into a pastor at an airport. I didn't know him, but it was just so weird. He was like, are you a speaker? he's a lecture speaker. I'm like, okay. It was so random. But he was asking me what topics do I talk about. And, of course, I told him about grief. And then he said, wow. You know, he said, the church is great with the cure, like pointing to the cure, which is Jesus, the hope in Jesus, but not so great at the care, like caring for people while they are grieving. And so, I think because we don't kind of teach like what to do or how are we to respond to people who are hurting and people who are grieving, then we kind of, some take scriptures out of context. Even, you know, one that I have heard a lot of is, you know, don't grieve without hope, you know, and sometimes I think that first line of is that people tend to just gravitate towards is the don't grieve part. So that scripture is not really saying not to grieve. Obviously it's telling us that we will grieve, but to make sure that we stand steadfast in the hope that we have in Jesus. And so it's kind of a, you know, hard topic when you think about it a little bit, but it's important.
It is so important. Mentioned, what did we say, 252 times in Scripture. There is a lot of grief expressed in Scripture. And since COVID, we've all lost something. Some of us just as something as simple as our favorite place to eat for lunch, and some of us as serious as a loved one or a way of life. Well, don't go away. We have more hope to explore on the other side of this break. When we come back, we'll continue to give you some guidance and advice for the holiday season coming up. We'll see you in just a second.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, friends. We are talking to Natasha Smith, having a pretty tender conversation about the subject of grief. Now, every one of us has experienced grief in our lives, some a little and some overwhelming, some temporary and some that just seems like a companion that stays with us for a very long time. And before the break, we were talking about some of the negative stereotypes and the stigma that can exist among well-meaning, really well-meaning Christian communities. But sometimes, you know, we can give some of these stereotypes, like no one wants to be around somebody who's grieving or sad all the time. It just kind of starts to weigh on you and you think, okay, when are you going to get over this? Or we might think, even if we don't say it out loud, that Christians who grieve have weak faith, or that grieving Christians are hurting their witness and that they don't trust the Lord in what he has allowed in their life, or that Christians should always be happy and exude joy. And also that counseling is for weak Christians who cannot manage their own grief. And so as we start talking and wrapping up this conversation, Natasha, I would really love to hear your words of advice for those who are grieving. Maybe it's fresh, maybe it's a familiar companion. Maybe it's something big, maybe it's small, maybe it's something that's very public, or maybe it's something that is very private. But we have people who are about to go into this holiday season, and they're already starting to feel dread. They maybe don't want to be around other people because it's just hard to see other people who are so happy, who have the loved one that they don't, or who have their marriage intact when they don't. I mean, because it's not always death that people are grieving. Sometimes it can be the death of a marriage or a betrayal of a friend. There's so many things that we can be grieving, and especially for those parents with kids, they're feeling like, how am I going to go into this and not? So what would you say to those people who are in a grieving journey, who really are just starting, thinking, I haven't, if you're talking about doing specific work to process grief, no, I'm just kind of waiting for it to pass. What would you encourage them to do?
Yeah. So first, you know, grief is very normal, and all the emotions and that come along with it is natural and normal. So that's, to me, one of the biggest things to put to the forefront, to know that, you know, what you're feeling is normal. Like, it's, you're not losing it, and you're absolutely normal. The next thing is just knowing that they're not alone. You know, there's so many of us that are grieving during this time frame. And how, what I like to say is, you know, we're here in this together as God is sitting with us. God, he promises to never leave us nor forsake us. So God is always, always with us, and he's so near to us and, near to the brokenhearted. And with grief, you know, to know that it needs a place to go. I love to say this because As I have carried grief for so long, I know that grief now needs a place to go. So we need a place for to let it out, whether that is expressing it through conversation with a safe person or a safe community, or even writing it out, like writing it on paper, whether that is in a journal. And so there's places where you can begin, and begin small, really. And there's nothing wrong with taking small baby steps. I like to say almost like it's the peeling of the onion, and that really has been the case for me with so much grief. It's still been this process of peeling this onion, this layer of grief. And so if you're starting out and you know you have this loss that needs to be processed, I would, you know, start there. Start with expressing it through writing, or expressing it by talking to someone. Again, finding that safe space and safe community to do so.
Well, and I think, you know, there's a lot of times where I've seen people experience grief. Just last year, right around the holidays, right before Christmas, mm-hmm. we lost a very dear friend very unexpectedly mm-hmm. in a boating accident. And, mm-hmm. you know, what I saw was that the church was the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, they brought food. Yeah. They went out there. It was very cold, and we had people standing out on the shore in sleet, you know, who were mm-hmm. making sure that nobody was alone. I mean, those are things that you can do, and just do them. Yeah. You know, just don't say, what can I do or how can I help? Just bring food, if nothing else, you know? And mm-hmm. one of the things I love that you have, Natasha, in your book, I'm looking at it right now. It's on page 154, if you want to get this book and look mm-hmm. it up. If you're experiencing grief, you give some tips about what to say if people are trying to express that concern and you're not ready to receive it. So you can say, please, thank you for your care and concern. Give me time to respond to your messages. You can say, I'm taking time to quietly reflect, but I'll let you know when I'm up for a conversation or visit. I need some time alone, but I'd love a phone call later. I don't need advice right now, but I would love for you to listen. It helps me when you, and then tell them the specific task to do. And so there's a bunch of other ones, which I think are really good. And I think for people who are grieving, we need to be okay to say where we are and to be transparent and vulnerable with that, and saying, okay, here's where I am and here's what you can do to help me. Now, sometimes, you know, that grieving is not fresh. It's not happening right then. But just this week on your Instagram, Natasha, you shared the pain of losing your sister 25 years ago, but it happened around mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. And so can you tell us kind of that end of the grieving journey? Like, where are you and how did you navigate the holidays knowing that 25 years later, yes, you're still thinking about her at Thanksgiving?
Yes. Thanks for that question. You know, when I think about, you know, that span of years, 25 years, I was actually speaking at an event last month October last month. And I had a young lady, when I was talking about my journey that I sat with grief for 30 years, come up at the end to say, you know, she felt seen for the first time ever. Because she had this loss that 25 years ago that she thought it was almost too late to grieve over. And so I say that to say 25 years for me, having lost my sister when I was in college, it's okay. You know, it's okay to grieve those things. that to the world may seem like, whoa, that was so long ago. But it's okay to still have that little ache in your heart to grieve. The grief looks different than it did 25 years ago. 25 years ago, it was like earth shaking. But, you know, today and or this past Thanksgiving, it was more of a sentiment of, you know, honoring her and thinking about her, you know. And so when often you may hear grievers say that, you know, time doesn't heal, but it does change the grief.
Yeah, one of the things that you posted was you said a holiday grief sounds a lot like wish you were here. Mm-hmm. Things aren't the same since you've been gone. There's so much I want to tell you. And even my sister told me that yesterday when we were talking about my granny. She said, I have never not talked to her for, it's been almost 3 months. Like, I've never not talked to her that long in my whole life. Like, so much has happened.
Yeah.
And I want to tell her those things. And, you know, as people are grieving, another friend of ours, a very dear friend who lost her husband in this last year, she actually posted something on her Facebook page saying, a lot of you are not talking about my husband when you're with me. And I know that you're trying to be really sensitive and you're trying not to trigger me. And you don't know, you know, how that is going to, how that's going to impact me. But Natasha, she said something that really grabbed my heart. She said, when you say his name, you give me the gift of his presence. Like
all of a sudden,
I know, isn't that just like, oh, it's still, I honestly, like I have goosebumps and a few tears because I thought about that and thought that could be something that you give the gift of to someone who is grieving, you know, just to give the gift of that presence of someone who is lost. And, you know, the worst that could happen is that, you know, they could say, oh, I don't want to talk about that, or they could get upset. But you know what? They're already upset anyway on the inside.
It's true. That's so true.
So what other advice do you have for families that are trying to navigate grief during a holiday season? What other words of encouragement would you give, Natasha?
Yes, I think really just being honest with where you are during this time frame. Again, just keep it to the forefront that grief is normal and that it's natural and it may show up or present itself in different ways. I know even for me, just presented its way, itself in a different way this year of just really thinking about how this year is so different than the last years, even though it's been 25 years or 10 years since a certain loss, but just saying, oh, you know, it's not the same and it will never be the same. And so just people who are grieving, giving themselves grace, giving themselves the space and grace to grieve, making space and tending to the grief. Because I know it's during the holidays, it's easy, again, to say, I don't want to be sad, so I'm not going to think about this. But the thing about, I mean, even with brain science, you will. The more we try to avoid thinking about a certain thing, we actually think about it more. And so making space for the grief, whether that is looking at old photos or old letters, which it can be hard, but I, on the other side of that is so healing. And then, you know, creating or continuing like traditions. I know last year I started lighting candles, which was, it was so sweet because again, I can incorporate my kids and, and a gift that has been to me is for my kids to say the names of my sisters and my dad, like, or, and like family members that they never met. And it has been so sweet to me.
You know, I think so many people will ask me, you know, just in the context of even being a nurse practitioner, if they're experiencing grief, because grief manifests itself in physical ways that we start to think there's something wrong with us, you know, that we have some sort of illness or something, and we don't realize that that is just that psychological trauma that's manifesting itself through our physical body. And they will ask me, you know, when do you think I'll be okay? Like, how long is this going to take? When are things going to be normal again? And the question that has to be asked back is, When are you going to be okay if you're never okay again? If it's never the same again, it's never going to be what it looks like, which can be a really hard place to be. But knowing that God is there in the midst of all of that, and especially, you know, looking back to all of the biblical and scriptural references you have with grief there. Now, Natasha, I would encourage people to really take these grief affirmations seriously, because that's a good, how you just put it, was tending to your grief. And one of your favorite affirmations that I'd like to close out talking about is lament. I know that you love lament. And we think of that word like lament, it sounds so, you know, scriptural, so like, you know, I don't know, hoity-toity or something, or just some mystical or lamentations. Yeah. But talk about lament and how that can be healing.
Yes. I think it's so healing because we're able to get the grief out. Like, we're able to allow ourselves to take the lid off. And it's more than just shouting. I mean, you can shout at God. It's okay. He's a big God. We serve a big God who made all of the entire universe, you know. And so he really wants us to come to him with every single thing. So the difference between lament and then just shouting is that we do bring every single thing that we feel and sense, all of our hurt, our pain, grief, our suffering, every emotion, our anger, our regret, our disappointment, our, you know, I miss you so much and wish you were here. We can bring all of that to the feet of Jesus for him to sit with us and for him to say, okay, be still and know that I am God, that I am comforter, I'm redeemer, I'm healer, I'm the Prince of Peace. You know, he's our counselor, you know. And so lament gives us this opportunity to bring our questions, you know, why, you know, why did this happen? You know, it gives us the opportunity to just pour our hearts before a Father who cares so very deeply for us.
Oh, I could not have said it better myself. And I think back to the verse we talked about earlier, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Now, Jesus was weeping at the death of his friend Lazarus, who he knew he was about to raise from the dead. So why would he cry if he knew this miracle was going to happen? He cried because he saw the grief of his friends and he had compassion for them. Well, get the book. Tend to your grief. Get the grief out. You can find Natasha online at IamNatashaSmith.com. Get her book, Can You Just Sit With Me? Healthy Grieving for the Losses of Life. Natasha, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Jessica.
God bless. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.